would have made a good, if perhaps strange, pair at the same time in the mid-80s in my young teens, back in Kansas City, Missouri. I, too, was an aspiring writer, although I gave myself a slightly loftier moniker in my journal, Gillian the Great. Like Michelle, I grew up in a big Irish family, went to Catholic school, nurtured a fascination with the dark. I read Truman Capote's In Cold Blood at age 12, a cheap secondhand purchase, and this would launch my lifelong obsession with true crime. I love reading true crime, but I've always been aware of the fact that, as a reader, I am actively choosing to be a consumer of someone else's tragedy. So like any responsible consumer, I try to be very careful in the choices I make. I read only the best, writers who are dogged, insightful, and humane. It was inevitable that I would find Michelle. I've always thought the least appreciated aspect of a great true crime writer is humanity. Michelle McNamara had an uncanny ability to get into the minds of not just killers, but the cops who hunted them, the victims they destroyed, and the trail of grieving relatives left behind. As an adult, I became a regular visitor of her remarkable blog, True Crime Diary. "You should drop her a line," my husband would urge. She was from Chicago. I live in Chicago. Both of us were moms who spent unwholesome amounts of time looking under rocks at the dark sides of humanity. I resisted my husband's urging. I think the closest I came to meeting Michelle was introducing myself to an aunt of hers at a book event. She loaned me her phone, and I texted Michelle something notably unauthorly like, "You are the coolest!" 3 exclamation marks. The truth was, I was unsure whether I wanted to meet this writer. I felt outmatched by her. I create characters. She had to deal with facts, go where the story took her. She had to earn the trust of wary, weary investigators, brave the mountains of paperwork that may contain that one crucial piece of information, and convince devastated family and friends to needle around in old wounds. She did all this with a particular sort of grace, writing in the night as her family slept from a room strewn with her daughter's construction paper, scribbling down California penal codes in crayon. I'm a nasty collector of killers, but I wasn't aware of the man Michelle would dub the Golden State Killer until she started writing about this nightmare, who was responsible for 50 sexual assaults and at least 10 murders in California during the 1970s and 80s. This was a decades-old cold case. Witnesses and victims had moved away or passed away or moved on. The case encompassed multiple jurisdictions in both Southern and Northern California and involved myriad crime files that lacked the benefits of DNA or lab analysis. There were very few writers who would take this on, fewer still who would do it well. Michelle's doggedness in pursuing this case was astounding. In a typical instance, she tracked down a pair of cufflinks that had been stolen from a Stockton crime scene in 1977 on the website of a vintage store in Oregon. But she didn't do just this. She could also tell you that, quote, "boys' names beginning and end were relatively rare, appearing only once in the top 100 names of the 1930s and 40s, when the original owner of the cufflinks was likely born." Mind you, this isn't even a clue leading to the killer. It's a clue leading to the cufflinks that the killer stole. This dedication to particulars was typical. Writes Michelle, "I once spent an afternoon tracking down every detail I could about a member of the 1972 Rio Americano High School water polo team because in the yearbook photo he appeared lean and to have big calves, a possible physical trait of the Golden State Killer." Many writers who have sweat and bled gathering this much research can get lost in the details. Statistics and information tend to elbow out humanity. The traits that make one a painstaking researcher are often at odds with the nuance of life. But I'll be gone in the dark while a beautiful work of reporting is equally a snapshot of the time, place, and person. Michelle brings to life the California subdivisions that were edging out orange groves, the glassy new developments that made victims the stars of their own horrific thrillers, the towns that lived in the shadow of mountains that came alive once a year with thousands of scuttling tarantulas searching for mates, and the people, good God, the people, hopeful ex-hippies, striving newlyweds, a mother and her teen daughter arguing over freedom and responsibility and swimsuits for what they didn't realize would be the last time. I was hooked from the beginning, and so was Michelle, it seems. Her multi-year hunt for the identity of the Golden State Killer took a harsh toll on her.